Okay, I want to share with you something for a few minutes, an idea, just for a few minutes, that's going to serve as an introduction, not per se to what we're about to do, but it's going to serve as a kind of introduction for the next, I would say, three or so things that we're going to do, next three units, in a certain sense. And maybe more, at least I would say probably three topics that are separate and distinct, but there's a certain common denominator. Don't worry about the relevance Don't worry about the relevance of what I'm about to say to what we're about to do just yet. Okay, the relevance will become clear in due time, but la'at la'at, okay? For now, just take it as a suggestion, an idea, a thought to start the morning, and we'll see the relevance of it to things we're learning as we go on. Okay, Beseder? Yes? A lot of people haven't had their first coffee yet, I can tell. Okay.
It's because the machine broke.
I know. It's not broken. There are just a few things that are
the
good
ones.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, I want to share with you the following idea. Rishonim already point out, Rishonim such as the Rashbam, for example, okay, one of the great Balei Tosfot, as well as Achronim, as well as contemporary, you can find this idea runs through centuries and centuries of Nefarshim of various kinds. Big yisod in Masechet Avot, okay, without which you can't move in Masechet Avot, and that is that in Masechet Avot, unlike the rest of Shas, or most of the rest of Shas, in Masechet Avot, when you have so-and-so, certain Tana, let's say, who says a particular statement, right, says, Hu Haya Omer, it's not an intellectual conclusion that the person reached. It's not something that they preached. It's a statement about the person themselves, who they were, what their characteristics were, what their character was, their life, sometimes about the things that were great about them and sometimes their failures. But it always reflects what they were, who they were. It's not just something that they said. Okay, this is in contradistinction to virtually any place else in Shas. Meaning, if I'm discussing a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa, right, I don't need to know anything about the personal biography of either of them, in order to appreciate what they're saying. They have their conclusions that they reach, the Masorah that they transmit. Whatever it is about Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa, it's a purely, there's a disconnect between the person who's saying it and what they're saying. Except for in terms of, consistency in Shitot and in terms of who we paskin like, but certainly I don't have to know the personal life of Rabbi Shimon or the personal life of Rabbi Yehuda in order to appreciate any aspect of their machloket. Right? If I know more about their biography, so that's very nice, but it has nothing to do with the discussion of Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa, and really, someone were to interject, it would be a digression, have nothing to do with anything. Okay? That's, it just doesn't matter. This even has halachic ramifications, what I just said, but not for right this moment in terms of halach of kibud av v'eim. But in any case, important yisod. By contrast, when it comes to Masechet Avot, the more I know about the person, the more I can appreciate what the Mishnah quotes them as saying, because the statement is intimately connected with who they were, what they were, their life, right? And you really, any time that we know about the person and we really deeply understand the Mishnah, we're going to see an incredible relationship between them. We'll see some examples, Bezrat Hashem, over the next, I don't know, few shiurim. Okay, that's not our focus for the next few shiurim, but it happens to be that in the topics that we're going to see some examples of it, and then we'll try to discuss the chlal in terms of how this idea plays out. But first, we'll see some examples. Okay, for the moment, take my word for that. I mean, not my word for it. The Rashbam says it, and many other mefarshim. Chaim Lajen, again, it goes all the way back at least to the Rashbam, if not earlier. And, okay, Beseder. But I want to suggest something based on that observation. And at that point, per se, is not a chiddush at all. Some of the applications that we're going to do may be chiddushim, but the yesod is not a chiddush at all. It comes from very classical sources. But I want to suggest something that may be said by others, I don't know, but I want to suggest it. I haven't seen it, and I'd like to suggest this idea for a moment. It's a theory. It's a guess. I don't know. But I think it's true. I believe it's true, and I'm going to present it to you, and you can decide for yourselves whether you think it's compelling or not, or maybe just, you know, keep in the back of your minds and see if it works for you down the road. Okay. We all know that Torah consists of two basic parts. Torah consists of two basic parts. In terms of its presentation, there is Torah Shebichtav, right, and Toshba, right? As my kids call it. I don't know if it's in there. Okay, anyhow. So we have Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh. I assume that wasn't a chiddush so far. People scribbling away, I don't know, write it down. In Torah Shebaal Peh, we have two basic ways in which Torah is presented to us. And they're very different. And if you're learning one part or the other of Torah, it's going to be an entirely different experience. You use different methodologies to a large degree, not entirely, but to a large degree. You use different approaches, you go about it differently. And the Torah goes about teaching us things in two very different ways. And they're complementary. They go together. That's important to understand, but they're two different aspects. Number one, we have narrative. Okay, we have narrative. We have parts of Torah which are narrative, where we are told this person did this and this happened to them and this and that and the other. And basically, we learn from people and their lives. We are inspired by them, or we learn from their mistakes and their failures, right? Both, that's all part of the process. Narrative. And the second part is halacha, right? We have places where the Torah tells us, you know, Avram did this and Sarah said that and that. And we have places where tells us, do this, don't do that. If this happens, then you have to pay this, right? Two very different parts. It's a very different experience, learning the parsha of Eved Ivri in parsha Mishpatim, right, or the parsha of Shomrim, or whatever, you know, Shiluach HaKeh, as opposed to learning, you know, I don't know, parsha Lech Lecha. It's just not the same type of learning, right? We all understand that, right? So, very briefly, we have Breishit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. Okay? And we have different kinds of midrashim on these. Let's focus for a moment on the halachic midrashim. Okay? So, quick review. What are some of the halachic midrashim? What do we have? Midrashay halacha. Midrashay tanam of halacha. Okay, the sifrei. Okay? So, the sifrei and Bamidbar, Dvarim. Okay? Sifra and Vayikra. And that's not halachic midrash, right?
Isn't that just a midrash, like, it's not that bad.
Which?
Yeah, isn't
that
like
a halachic
one?
On what? Breishit. Halachic one on Breishit. What's the halachic midrash on Breishit called?
Well, there isn't one.
There actually is a little... Okay, good. So we have, what about Shmo? We have Mechilta. Okay, and basically, again, without getting, you know, too technical, basically, certainly in terms of the standard literature, it's true there are Midrashei Tanam on Breishit as well, but it's a little bit different, whatever. And the point is that we don't have really the equivalent of Mechilta Sifrei on Breishit, because, as we say, Breishit, okay, to put this differently, my point really is not about Midrashim, but the point is that in Shmot through Dvarim, we have a focus on halacha, right, with a certain amount of narrative interspersed. It's true, there's also narrative in Shemot to Dvarim, no question about it, but there's a clear focus on halacha. When it comes to Breishit, there are halachot in Breishit, right? There are, but if you take out a Sefer Achinuch, for example, which is halacha, essentially, in the order of Chumash, so, you know, if you take out a Sefer Achinuch, there is this much, if that, right, on Breishit, on Sefer Breishit, and then the rest is Shemot through Dvarim, right? Almost any parasha in Shemot through Dvarim, you'll have a nice amount of Sefer Achinuch. If you have the all of Sefer Breishit, is like, you know, the three mitzvah, and that's it. So, again, I'm speaking in very broad strokes, right? But Breishit is narrative, and Shemot through Dvarim is halacha. Okay, again, I'm talking about the emphasis. I'm not saying there are pieces of each. Okay, now let's turn to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay? And let's look at Shas. Right? Let's look at the Mishnayot of Shas. And what you find is something very interesting, which is that the rest of Shas is focused on halacha. That doesn't mean you don't have any agadic parts. You do. You have a little bit in Chagiga in the second parak, and you have, you know, the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, and a little bit in the 7th, and here and there, right? A little bit here and there, but basically, the clear focus is in halacha. Then you have Masechet Avot, and Masechet Avot is what, if we're learning Chumash, we call narrative, right? It's about people, personalities, their lives, their character, what they did right, what they did wrong, what we can learn from their successes and failures, right? When Chumash is, we call narrative. The Seder, so far reasonable? Yes? I'm saying anything drastic yet. Okay, so I want to say something a little drastic. What is the... Who are the main characters in Sefer Breishit? So I think if you understand that Breishit is also known as the Sefer HaMot, we understand that the narrative Breishit is about the Avot, and obviously others as well, but the Sefer Avot, right? What is the parallel to Sefer Breishit in other words, Breishit is the Torah Shebichtav as Avot is the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Anyone see that? Yes? The Sefer Breishit, if you will, of Shas is Masechet Avot. Okay? And I think that suggests a very compelling reason for why it's called Masechet Avot. To highlight just this idea. The idea that what we have here really is a kind of Sefer Breishit of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay? And that, I think, gives us a very important perspective on what Masechet Avot is, how it works, how we're supposed to understand it. If we, you know, if we keep this in the back of our minds, it's going to do a lot to help us to understand things. You say that? Okay, but we're not talking about Masechet Avot today. That's not the topic. This is a general introduction to the next little while. Not for today. Probably not for today. And yeah, certainly not for the immediate future. We're going to look at right now at something totally different, which is, I'd like to look at the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, the second part of Chagiga, the Yerushalmi that talks about the life of Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. Okay? Let's look at the story of Elisha ben Avuya.
Talks about what?
Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. Okay? Was a great Tana, when the Grace of the Tanam, he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, okay, alongside other Rebbeim of Rabbi Meir, such as Rabbi Akiva. Okay, talking about Elisha ben Avuya, who was a great, great Tana, but he, in a very, very, it's hard to even imagine, but he totally, as we say in modern terminology, goes off the derech, and someone who is viewed as being traitor and being, rejecting Torah, described by Chazal in many different sources as being Machal Shabbos and Yom Kippur and so on and so forth, right? Really as far removed as possible, as one could possibly imagine, from Torah mitzvah. And we pick up the story after Elisha ben Avuya had already abandoned the path of Torah. And I'd like to look at not the whole Yerushalmi, but a big chunk of it, a big chunk of the Yerushalmi, and to see what we can learn from the story of Elisha ben Avuya, because I believe that on a certain level, Elisha ben Avuya is one of the most important models. I don't mean in terms of like we should be following him at all. That's not what I mean. But in terms of someone we can learn certain lessons from, he's one of the most important models for our times. And you'll understand what I mean better after we've analyzed what it's about. We're going to do is to look at the Yerushalmi, and don't get bogged down on every little detail, every little phrase, but try your best to get through as much of it as you possibly can. Okay? I'm going to give you just a few introductory terminologies and then get you started on it. But I'm going to ask you to look at the Yerushalmi. I'm just going to show you. You can take the source book on your way out. It's over here. But you can see, I hope, over here, the Yerushalmi, I broke up into little sections just to make it easier to reference. Just so instead of telling you we're up to the 13th line, I can tell you we're in, you know, paragraph, three or whatever. So there, that's not part of the Yerushalmi. I added that just to make it easier for us to learn it together. It just breaks it up into littler units. Don't worry about the second side of the page now. If you get through the Yerushalmi, that will be great. Get through as much of it as you can. Try to notice what you can. But I want to just warn you about one thing. Not warn you, I want to clue you in, I want to sensitize you to one thing that's very important. Throughout this Yerushalmi, there is an ongoing dialogue, back and forth, between Rabbi Meir and various individuals, most of the time Elisha ben Avuya, Achran, right? In those conversations, in those discussions, those dialogues, I think it's safe to say always, but certainly almost always, there are at least two levels that are transpiring simultaneously, meaning that what people are saying, there is a double meaning to it, okay? Back and forth. There are like two levels of conversation going on throughout the thing, and to begin to understand the Yerushalmi, you have to be clued in to that double, that double layer of the two tiers of the conversation. So please be sensitive to that. Let me just give you one more technical observation. There's a term that's used repeatedly, and that's patchat, okay? Basically, where it's patach, but it's a technical term, and I won't get too bogged down in it, but basically, it refers to a methodology in Midrash, and where you're discussing a particular text, and you bring in another pasuk, right, and then use it to develop an idea, an understanding, etc. Okay, so when Elisha ben Avuya asked Rabbi Meir, my patchet bay, he's asking him, like very loosely, and in modern terminology, we'd say he's asking Rabbi Meir, and what did you say about it, right? What was your approach? What approach did you take to it? What were you doresh about it? Okay, you'll see that repeatedly. So I just want to clue you in. I think the rest is more or less self-explanatory. Have fun. Sheets are here. And enjoy. So...